This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
We've got them going today, Mego, and boy, oh boy, they're going to get more fired up in just moments once we get to hour number two of WEEI Afternoons with Fitzy and Mego. Ted's in tomorrow. Andy Hart is out on personal business today. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number as well as your text line to engage and enrage here with us on WEEI Afternoons. Mego, before we get to today's three-point stance, let me just clean up the calls real quick. Mike is up in Maine. He believes he has his finger on who will be the next Rory McIlroy. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on? So it's not a player, really. It's the Detroit Lions. They have the history of being down in the dumps for years. They got the fan base, the dedicated fan base. They have the players that they've had, to Calvin Johnson to Matthew Stafford leaving and winning a Super Bowl the next year. That's got to hurt. The success they've had recently where they're getting to all the championship games. So I think they are the next ones to get over the hump, and it would just be such a relief for God, the world at this point.
You know, Mike, that's actually a great take, and thank you for the call, bud. Mega, we said it could be Lamar Jackson, it may be Josh Allen in terms of individuals, but could there be a more tortured fan base that has never actually won? Now, the answer to that, obviously, is yes, the New York Jets. But the Jets have actually won a Super Bowl. Yes, a championship, not just in the NFL championship era, but in the Super Bowl era way back in the day with Broadway Joe Namath. The Detroit Lions, I feel like, would be that next great cathartic. They finally did it. Everyone would watch, and they would no longer be the laughing stock of or favorite meme of the NFL.
Yeah, maybe the Browns I would throw in there as well. I think Detroit has the momentum right now, so it feels like they're kind of the darling of pick a team in the postseason. If, for example, you're a Patriots fan and you're like, I just need somebody to root for in the playoffs because my team wasn't making it at any point last year. You go to the Lions because they're the darling. Mm-hmm. They're the feel-good team. So I agree with that. I like that. Decades and decades of pain. Matthew Stafford, who was the hope of the franchise, goes and wins with LA, as the caller said. Like, I even thought, was Matthew Stafford a good candidate for that? But I'm not sure that anyone, that he was ever really close enough where anyone was like, God, if he can just break through, the way that it's beginning to feel with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
One of them is going to break through in the next couple of years for sure. And if they have to go through the Lions, so be it. But there was quite the amount of talent and coaching attrition. They lost a lot of the brain drain, as we used to like to call it here on the sidelines and in the coaches box at Foxborough, was pretty significant for the Lions offseason. They have a lot of work to do. It's a daunting task indeed with Terrell Williams here now in Foxborough. And, of course, Ben Johnson, the coach of Da Bears. One more call real quick. All right, we're gonna keep them tight just like we do our three-point stances, 60 seconds or less. Hello, Steve in Fall River.
How are you? You're right. If you have to say it's too close to start commenting on the Red Sox, then it's too close. Just like if Bob Kraft has to say to a guy that's on the Hall of Fame, you think I'm trying too hard? The answer is trying too hard. It doesn't matter if they're not five games ahead in the AL. It's game 30 or whatever, game 18, 10% of the season.
Right.
I do want to ask Mago one thing. I want to know what your goofy, underlying goofy friends who wanted Bill Belichick in Washington last year have to say. Have they changed their mind? Have they brought it up again?
Last year with Dan Quinn?
They wanted Bill Belichick in Washington, D.C.
Last year? I don't think anybody wanted Bill Belichick in D.C. last year with Dan Quinn when they were winning with Jaden Daniels. Is that what we're talking about?
I'm not sure exactly. Okay. Thank you, Steve. Perfect.
Anyway, moving
along.
All
right. And let's ride that momentum right into everybody's favorite segment, the three-point stance.
319!
319!
319!
Yeah, there you go!
What's up?
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pastrnak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Well, for what it's worth, the best I could find is that Jeremy Fowler reported there was some sort of correspondence between the Commanders and Belichick, which could be as simple as a text message. I don't know. That's very vague.
In 2023? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Or February 10th, 2024 is the date that this story came out.
So before they hired Dan Quinn.
Right.
Okay.
So he was in the conversation at some point, but certainly does not seem serious. But that is neither here nor there, as it's time for our three-point stance. And lady and gentleman and Stiz, we have some great news, because today's three-point stance is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. That's pretty easy to remember. And for today's three-point stance, if you're new to our segment here at 3 o'clock on WEEI Afternoons, each host gets 60 seconds or thereabouts to present their opening take on whatever they are hottest on in the world of sports and sometimes beyond. After each host is gone, we open up the floor for discussion and debate, and we also open it up to you at 617-779-7937. Today, our order will be Nick Fitzy Stevens, and then myself, Dan Ball, with the sideline cheerleading of Stiz, to my right. And then Mego will jump in with a take that we have been teasing for the better part of an hour, so we're going to let her go last so we can almost immediately jump into the conversation about what she has to say. But Fitzy, you will lead us off. Are you ready to roll?
I am indeed. So wait, you're telling me I have 60 seconds to try to come up with something more coherent than Steve from Fall River?
Yes, and I don't know how you're going to pull that off, but I'll give you 60 seconds to do it, and it starts now.
Mission unimpossible. Sorry, Ethan Hunt, you have failed. All right, so we know that we just came off of the emotional thrill of the Masters. The Red Sox have been a letdown to date. Your Boston Celtics have finished up their regular season. They do not play a game that really counts for six more days, and how difficult is that opening round really going to be? The Bruins are finally, mercifully, going to wander into the woods and not come back tomorrow after tomorrow night as well. And the NFL draft is not for a week and a half. Guys, the next week, as far as sports goes, is going to be boring AF. It is going to kind of suck out loud. There's not going to be a lot of thrills. There's not going to be a lot of scoopage, although the Greg Hill Show did tell us earlier today that perhaps on Wednesday there could be somebody getting released from contract from the Bruins front offices. So stay tuned for some more news here on WEEI for that. But by and large, this is just one of those weeks, folks. There's not a lot of news. There's not a lot of titles. There won't be a lot of great comebacks. There won't be a lot of things you're going to want to post about, share with your friends, bet on with your public profiles on Venmo, and then brag about when you win or lose the pool. The March Madness is over. No, there's really nothing to get excited about, to which I say steer into it, embrace it. The sun's going to be out for the next week, folks. It's actually not going to rain that much. Go outside, take a walk, touch some grass, get some vitamin D. Starting next week when the draft comes around, it'll get exciting again. You're welcome.
Okay. Always great for the local sports radio host on a Monday.
Good luck showing,
say
that
this week is going to be boring.
I wanted everybody to know it's okay now to just have evergreen conversations. You don't have to worry about, but what's your opinion about this? Like, we're just talking sports. That's okay. It's, don't expect it to be like every single day can't just be the next greatest day in the history of sports radio, sports broadcasting, sports entertainment and journalism. Like, I know the whole line is always like, sorry, people, we have a show to do every day. We have 4 hours we have to do. So what else do you want us to say? We'll figure something out. We'll spin some takes and make some noise and nonsense. But like, it's not going to be the most dynamic next 7 to 9 days. So take a break, relax, because guess what you're going to do? Mego, starting Sunday, you're about to get on a ride you hope lasts the next 2 months, and then you're going to sprinkle draft talk and hopefully the resurgence of the Red Sox into it. It's okay to take a breath, everybody.
WEEI afternoons. Ah, we'll figure it out on the fly. That's what we're going with. All right.
It's fine. You said, what am I hot on? That's what I was impassioned by. So there you go. Mock me all you want. You do normally every day, listeners.
That's true. That's true. But we're doing it this time around instead of just playing Great Story, which we'll get to, I'm sure, at some point. Okay. So because we want to make sure Mego goes last with her opening take, I will jump in with mine right now. And I'm looking up at the clock and starting my own 60 seconds to answer the question that came up last segment. What the hell is wrong with the Boston Red Sox? It's a little bit of everything in injuries have certainly been an issue, but I see a little bit of an issue with leadership and with accountability, not coming from the top with Alex Cora and the coaching staff necessarily, but they play a part of it. When you go through years of roster abuse and roster neglect, and you actively ship out your homegrown talent, your homegrown stars, and your homegrown leaders, who is the next young wave of players supposed to look up to when they're not only playing, but you're coming to the park every day as part of a business trip, that you're trying to be accountable and professional and focus on the details and get into a rhythm and figure out how you operate for 162 days plus. Leadership is not something that you can pay for. So as much as I love Alex Bregman, he's a hired gun. As much as I like what Trevor Story's been doing lately, he too is a hired gun from another system in Colorado where they have different pillars and different things that they value as much. So I just, after years of treating the roster as they did, the Red Sox don't have homegrown leaders that can help these young players be accountable with the details, and I really see a bit of a vacuum when it comes to a team that makes way more mistakes for the talent they have.
That was an excellent, excellent three-point stance, Dan. Well done.
Oh. Yeah, and Dan, I think what we're kind of like dancing around, because I very much agree with that. You think bringing Alex Bregman in, he's immediately going to be this leader in the clubhouse that you've been lacking. And unfortunately, I just think it reflects really poorly on Rafi Devers. And we talked about this a lot when he was very, very cold to start the season. And I know that he's been playing mostly better since then. But Rafi Devers has never naturally been that guy for you. And it just puts you in an awkward space where you let Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts go. You traded one and you let the other one walk in free agency. And now the guy that you're stuck with just isn't that guy. And he's the most talented and the biggest star and doesn't want to be designated hitter, but now he is designated hitter. And that's what you're left with, leadership that you are homegrown with. Maybe the guys that you're bringing up now from the minors will grow into those guys very quickly.
And I have a lot of value in Fitzy. I apologize. I'll get this out quick. But I have a lot of value for the analytics side of the game and statistics and all the exit velocity and all the kind of stuff that we mock, or I usually get mocked for on the show. Exactly. But you can't only base a roster on that. And I feel like there's been about a 5-year stretch of roster building for the Red Sox where they just have not valued the intangibles. And now you have a team that doesn't have leadership, accountability, and doesn't focus on the details that don't really show up in stats. So that is what I have to say. Fitzy, go ahead. I do earn that on a daily basis.
You can go with the Homer chant. Next time, see if you can grab Frederick W. Polowatsky, a.k.a. the Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds, just leading the nerds, nerds, nerds chant, because we got a room full of nerds here right now as well. I know we usually wait until after the three-point stances have all been laid out to analyze, dissect, and bargue over them, but I know we're all going to get into Mego, so not to try to build it up even more, but real quick, Dan, I hadn't really thought of it that way. I hadn't considered the fact that there wasn't any one great homegrown leader. There weren't one or two guys that have been around long enough that have been through it that can pull everyone else up around them or tell them the way it's done. It really is a team of rookies and mercenaries. It's hired guns and new guys. And the combination that Alex Cora is like the one, I guess, that should lead them all up. And he can only do that so much because he does seem so affable. It does seem like he has such a high baseball IQ. But there really isn't the face of leadership that this team needs. And the more I read into this driveline stuff, the crazier it's driving me. And it is exactly the side of baseball that I don't like. And if we continue to see all the swings and misses and the errors this team makes, then you may want to just see if you can call up and maybe they can use Wells Fargo or somebody to cancel one of all those subscription canceling services that are out there, because it's not great, Bob. It's not great. Anyway, back to you, Dan.
Yes. Yeah, no question about it. But we will move on from our Red Sox soliloquy. And TF Mego, are you ready for your 60-second?
No, this clock makes me nervous, but I'll go.
There's the beauty of the three-point stance. All right, well, your 60 seconds begins right now.
So something that I've always really appreciated about the Masters, and this is going to make me sound 1,000 years old, is being able to watch a contest on TV, a major sporting event on my television, in which you can actually see people's faces in the audience because they don't have their stupid smartphone up in front of it taking a picture or a video for their 30 followers that they're putting out on Instagram or Twitter. I wish that the other professional sports would adopt the phone policy that the Masters has for the playoffs. And I'm not even talking about just from the position of being somebody who would be a fan and maybe sitting behind someone who has their stupid phone up for like half of a quarter of the NBA just taking the crappiest videos that you've ever seen from the Loge section. I'm talking about even just watching on TV. Like, I think that having our phones out all the time, we all know it's bad. Everybody knows it's bad. If you're a parent, you're concerned about the screen time that your kids are having. But when you go to the event and everybody has their phone up in front of you, and even when you're just watching it on TV, it's like, are people even engaged with this? It's a distraction point for the Masters, but I think it would improve professional sports and us taking it as consumers overall if you just put the phone away. Put in a little baggie like you do at concerts sometimes.
Look at my life. I'm a lot like you.
That is the most boomer take, Megan.
I don't care, dude. It's
I'm so tired of the people with their phones at events.
It's so annoying. Look, if you're in your seat or if you're in the suite, have the phone away. Have the phone away. If you're walking the concourse, if you're tailgating outside, I don't care. But we're all here. Like, people are spending huge money to be there. And all you care about is like, oh, look at me. Look at the basketball player I have in front of me. Look at where I am. Look, I'm at Gillette. Look, guys, look at the stadium. Look at the banners. Nobody wants to see it. It's even worse when you're doing it at concerts and you put up like 4 Instagram stories and it just sounds like some guitar, like, and everyone. It's like, oh, cool, you're at Roadrunner.
You must have the iPhone -4. I hate this because I like to take, especially concerts. I'm glad you said concerts.
Everybody's a content creator. Oh, I'm a content creator. I got to put up what I'm doing at this. Look at me. I'm at the game. Look at my jacket. Look at my shoes. I'm a content creator. Put it away.
I love to go to concerts.
Experience your life. No, live an authentic life. Mego, Stiz, I'm going to hand you the baton
in
a second.
Fine.
But when I was watching Super Bowl 51, I was in Houston hanging out with the Houston Patriots fan club at this bar called Diablo Loco. It was like 450 people. Place was blank hole to elbow. It was the belly of the Mayflower. It was
great
nuts.
Story.
Nick, I'm sorry, Nick. I love you, buddy. Please continue.
I can't even. I mean, usually you just wait until I'm halfway through the story or near its conclusion.
Dan
now
dared
I don't even get
to.
The preface or the exposition.
It wasn't even my idea. Dan dared me to.
Yeah, I'll put my.
Oh, it wasn't
up.
My idea.
I mouthed. Stiz's mic was on, but I mouthed great story as you were starting. That's on me.
Oh my God, why do I do this? I mean, bed is such a better option. I swear. I got a garage full of beer. I got a yard that needs to be working on. All right. So, long story short, somebody was filming at the tail end of the game, as it looked like the Patriots were about to complete the comeback just before toss to White, he's in Patriots win the Super Bowl, Brady has his fifth. And this guy had his phone up and he was circling around filming everybody. And I said to him, I said, put it away. I said, just don't. Like, you're preventing yourself so you can share this with friends later on. I understand wanting to hold on to the idea, but like, just put it away and live the moment. He's like, but bro, I can't. I was like, trust me. This might be the most special moment. You want to be able to react to it and not just like worry about how other people see it. And long story short, he put his phone away and I was so psyched. And then James White scored. And as I hugged someone, I turned around. That freaking guy had his phone back out and was filming everybody. I didn't want a copy of it. I didn't care for anyone else's copy
Stiz,
of it.
Stiz, are you a phone out at the stadium guy?
I want to say, first of all, I follow both of you on social media and you both are guilty of
phones out at the stadium.
I don't know about, but just posting stuff on social media.
Of course,
that's
I post on
whatever.
Social media. You know what I'm not
doing? Otherwise, we're not going to have it.
I'm on the radio, scrub. So I have my phone up in front of me. Okay, look. Oh my gosh, there's Jason Tatum shooting in the middle of the game. Look, he's only 1,000 feet away from me.
Very holier than thou. Very holier than thou. Some poor kid, some 12-year-old or some 15-year-old kid that gets to go to a game if he's lucky, maybe once a year, and you want to chastise him for taking a video of his favorite player, Jason Tatum?
A 40-year-old man with his phone up.
A quick moment or something.
He's stuck behind you, Stiz.
I can't see anything because I can't see anything.
You're lying. You're lying.
A bunch of people
you're lying. Stop it.
I may as well just watch it from home if you're going to watch it on your friggin' screen.
They're ruining your vision of the game. That's what you're saying? Give me a break. You're a liar.
You go. Part of the reason you go to a sporting event, especially playoffs, part of the reason you go to the games because you feel like you're in this mass of fandom and you're in the moment and everybody is locked in emotionally and then you have somebody next to me, all right, my followers got to see. Check it out. They're wiping the towel down over on the bench. Like, it sucks. It is not an enjoyable experience in the modern world.
Who
are
you?
I love it.
I love it. Just like
in.
People with the phone up and they're like, yo, comeback's almost complete.
If they just
we
zapped,
out here.
If they just
we out, it's happening.
Phone.
It's real life. Like, share, subscribe, smash that sub button, bro. Shut up. Just go to the game. Take a photo with your friends afterwards. Do a parking lot recap. There's a million other places for me to get pictures that I can meme up, highlights, Instagrammable moments. I don't need 10,000 other content curators and aspiring NFL Films cameramen with the most obnoxious commentaries as well. I'm with you, Mego. There was a photo. I even put it in our text thing, and I retweeted it earlier at FitzyGFY. Made sure to share this one thing where somebody said online, hey, it was just so great to see Rory in this all-time moment with everyone cheering, having an authentic emotional response, and nobody had their phone out. Good for them. I love it. And I'm sure if you go to Augusta, somebody could maybe verify this on text or on the phone, if you can, please. I'm sure just like at amusement parks or fundraisers, there's always like a cameraman who like takes your photo and then gives you a QR code or a password to go buy an expensive version of the photograph, like going down a log flume or
okay, you already
whatever.
Had Augusta in this case, so.
Huh?
I'm saying you already had Augusta in this case, so if you're getting the fancy photo, like you're
money is not an
it.
Object
yeah.
right
yeah,
now.
Money's yeah, money's not an it's still overpriced no matter what. If you can get a photo of you and your bros at Augusta so everyone believes that you were there. I don't need you filming Vijay Singh missing a putt on 17 to believe that you were at the Masters or that it was a highlight of your life. So, Mego, I am with you.
Elitist.
Thank
Stiz
you.
Is not, and I, you know, the calls are already coming in. So, Stiz, this will be the ultimate line in the sand. You'll be able to tell exactly how old our audience is, how boomer our Q is, depending on how they call in. Maybe the younger generation will call in and also say, like, you know what? This, you know what? I'm with Mego. This stinks.
No, they're probably going to be like, I need my posts. I need my posts up. This is why I'm here. I'm here so I can get my post up so everyone can see I was at the game. Everyone can see how good my seats are. Everyone can see the jersey I got. Everyone can see my sneakers. That's what it's about.
I love going to I take a few videos at a concert, and I'm not lying. Every few months, I'm sitting in front of my computer. Maybe I'm having a couple cold ones. I will plug in my hard drive. I will plug in my hard drive and I will watch some videos of like a concert that I was at last year or whatever. And I don't know. I love it. I love it. And the quality, that's why I was like, you have an iPhone -5 because I don't know about yours, but the quality on my phone at a concert is awesome. So I just think that's a ridiculous take for people not to be able to take pictures and videos at events and concerts. Get out of here.
I'm just saying it really bothers me. And when I get to go to concerts and they say, you got to put the phone away. You got to put it in this little baggie. Great. Awesome. We're actually
going to be able to see
what's happening.
If you're going to go to a Bill Burr show, Stiz, and they have like one of those policies of like phones in the magnetic bag, put them away. What are you going to be like? Nah, I got to be able to share these jokes with my boys.
Sneak it in like a real Chelsea boy.
Oh, my God.
We got a trend, though. So
here's All right, you know what's trending? You being obnoxious with the great story. And also, when we come back on the other side, we'll talk some Celtics. We'll take your calls on Mego's take. Everything that you want to hear that you, I don't know, whatever. Just give me sports news, Dan.
Great story.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
That's right. As heard yesterday on NBC Sports Boston, there's our guy, Drew Carter, who broadcasts alongside the almighty and wonderful Scal, heard each and every Wednesday here at 4 p.m. on WEEI Afternoons. With the call as the Celtics win two supremely meaningless games against the Charlotte Hornets at home to take their record to 61-21 on the season. Next stop, playoffs, Sunday at home against either the Magic of Orlando or the Hawks of Atlanta. Fitzy and Mego here with you alongside Dan Ball and Mr. Tech Extraordinaire himself, Stanley Stiz Grimy Bruno on WEEI Afternoons. Your calls are welcome at 617.
Hello.
I am still not recovered from what happened before trending 10 minutes ago.
We may have to just in the 5 o'clock, the first thing we're going to play at Odds and Ends is that absolute masterpiece of Stiz trolling me during my, what was it? It was after 3-point stance. I was telling a story coming out of your 3-point stance, Mego.
And it was a great one.
It was indeed. And you had the bright idea to encourage Stiz. You were the bad person who fed the animal in the zoo, Dan. And then Stiz technologically trumps me. And then the car crash that took place when I threw it to trending was...
Stiz accidentally started playing an ad and you thought it was a caller.
Janice? Hello?
Well, no, because the ad said something about Janice. So that's why I said hello.
Like, hello, I'm Janice.
I'm Janice, and I lost weight with Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Hello, Janice?
Janice? Hello?
All professional over here. Professional operation.
That's us.
Oh, my God. Janice, hello, should be the new name. I'm going to just switch that to all my handles. Anyway, before we get back to the Celtics talk, let's clean up some of the phone calls regarding Mego's three-point stance that cell phones should be banned from all professional sporting events.
I said the playoffs. Playoffs
no.
in your seats.
No, I would have gone for all of them, but if you want to say playoffs, that's fine.
Let's just ban them from the world.
Okay, that's the best thing. If we could just go back to just basic phones,
95,
no screens.
Let's go.
Yes, pre-BlackBerry. I'm here for it. Tom is from Hull. I think he agrees with Mego. What's up, Tom?
Oh, all day. You're two of my favorite people, Mego and Fitzy. You guys, that was Mego. That was an absolute great lead or whatever we call it. I loved listening to you. I was watching the Masters yesterday with my 30-year-old son, and I said to him, look at all those people around the green sitting there with no phones out. They're all intrigued. They're all walked right into what's happening. I loved it. And so, Mego, hats off to you. That was a great take. You guys have a great day.
Thank you,
Tom.
Thank you so much, Tom. I can
thank
tell
Tom.
By Tom's voice that he's 23.
Shocker.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very glad that I have the youth on my side.
Definitely.
Stiz, you're on thin ice. You're on shaky ground, pal. You better watch out. You were smitten by the technological gods for your terrible response to Mego's take. Back to your Celtics, Mego. Okay, so they got 6 days off until they play winner of Magic Hawks. I think the majority of the world believes that it's going to be the Magic. Obviously, the Celtics lost to them a couple days ago, but that's when they literally started the bench. It was the Stay Ready crew in Orlando after getting it at 4:30 in the morning, following a 1,000-mile flight, following a thriller in overtime against the New York Knickerbockers. Nobody faults them for that at all. They didn't have a hard time with the Magic this year. I think a lot of people thought the Magic would be better. Maybe they'll rekindle some of that inspo come playoff time, because it seems like the Celtics were a team this year, Mego, that brought out the best in everybody and kind of elevated their game. Hey, we're playing the Celtics. This is our NBA Finals. This is our basketball Super Bowl as well. So before we get into a good question that the Midday Show posed about, do you feel like the Celtics under or overachieved on the season? Tell me, what's your comfort level right now with the Celtics heading into the postseason, injuries, managed minutes and all?
So I don't want to come off as like overconfident and I'm just penciling them into every round to get back to the finals. But I kind of think that that's what the expectation should be with the team, because they're so deep, because they're so talented. I am concerned about the pain management injections that Ramona Shelburne reported that Jaylen Brown is getting in that knee. That's been a problem for a couple weeks now. And I would like to see him utilized less in these early rounds, because you're going to need him in the Eastern Conference Finals and the Finals. But overall, I'd say my feeling is pretty confident in the Celtics. I really like the way that the starters in rotation have been playing before they started this taper period over the last week. I love the confidence that Joe Mazzulla has with the team this year and how much he's grown as the head coach. So I think it's the, like they're kind of playing with house money right now in these early rounds. And I know that's like a really kind of condescending and snobby way to look at the rest of the league, but it's honestly how I feel today.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say house money. I'd push back on that. And to me, when you say like someone's playing with house money, it's you never expected to be here in the first place. So.
Oh, okay. I guess what I'd say is I don't feel like it's almost like I don't feel like the stakes are very high for them in these early rounds because they have such a strong advantage.
Okay. Listen, they are 10, 11 starters deep, if you want to say that, if you want to put it that way, because they have such depth. Joe Mazzulla has done a great job managing the minutes, doing the load management, if you will. So they are reasonably well rested. They do seem, by and large, aside from Jaylen Brown's pain management injection knee, they seem to be in pretty excellent health. I do caution just the Celtics in general of taking any team for granted. I don't want to see them throttle up Jaylen Brown so much that they grind his knee to a point where he's not healthy enough to play even in the conference semis or the conference finals. I would try to manage that and mitigate his minutes as well as the pain as much as they possibly can. None of us still really know what it is. No one knows what kind of pain management injection that he just got as well. But I would caution them taking any potential opponent for granted. And as far as how they finished up their season, again, the Jones and Keefe show, the boys before us on the middays, did an excellent job. And the question was, did they overachieve? Did they underachieve? How did you look at the season? To which I would say, I just think they achieved. I would say they came in right around where I would think they did. They had an easy path to the finals last year. You knew you were going to get everyone's best shot and then some this year. Teams like Cleveland and also Oklahoma City, as well as the Lakers, a lot of other teams improved because once you're on top, you are now the target. You are the team to beat. Everyone is gunning for you. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, which the Celtics have worn this year. And I think it's impressive that they've actually gotten back to 61-21. Are they underachieving at home? Yes. Are they overachieving on the road? Yes. How that shakes out once the playoffs get rolling next Sunday, we'll find out. Mega, we got to catch a break. When we come back, I'll get more of your thoughts here on these Celtics-related matters as well. And we're going to talk more about this Jaylen Brown injury. Is this going to be something that gets in the way of the Celtics repeating? Is it not a big deal? Is this ultimately what stops Banner 19 from getting hung in the rafters at the Garden? Mego explains here with Fitzy, Stiz, and Dan on WEEI Afternoons. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
This is Jaylen Brown a little over a week ago talking about managing the pain, dealing with what's bothering him in his knee, and how he was approaching the end of the season for the Celtics. Of course, last week we came to learn, Mego, that Jaylen Brown was sat down. He did not pursue getting 22 minutes or more in the final three games so that he could make the 65 games played, try to make all NBA, whether it was him meeting with the team, he and his team making up their mind that it wasn't worth the pursuit. If someone told him if he keeps grinding and doesn't take a couple of weeks off, he could injure the knee more. I'm glad that cooler and calmer heads prevailed and that they were able to figure that rest was indeed the best medicine, or at least the proper prescription for him right now. So I go into it asking you this, Mego. Is Jaylen Brown's mystery knee injury, is this the thing that concerns you of all possible factors and variables? Is Jaylen Brown's nagging knee injury what makes you, like, is that what gives you the most concern about the Celtics possibly repeating as NBA champions?
Oh, definitely. It's the kind of thing where we've said all season, what's most important for the Celtics is that they stay healthy, that their starters stay healthy. And I think even if you look at Kristaps Porzingis, who's been playing great again before this taper period, and is able to make up a lot of the production that you lose with Jaylen sitting, you still need Jaylen because of the motor that he is for this team. Like, even with the production that you get from Porzingis, from Jrue Holiday on some nights, from Peyton Pritchard as likely sixth man of the year, Jaylen Brown is the second best player on your roster. And a lot of times he's the one who's leading scoring in the first quarter. A lot of times he's the one whose physical play is swinging the momentum in the third quarter or stopping the bleeding because he has this sheer force of will with which he plays. And so if you don't have that in the later rounds and he's not himself, that's the biggest concern I can think of outside of something happening with JT, God forbid.
Dan, you watch a little bit of basketball as well yourself, always seem willing to provide a level-headed take. Is that your biggest concern for the Celtics?
I think it has to be. In terms of concerns that we already know of, if there were, as Mego kind of teed up, if there were other injuries that popped up, I still worry about Porzingis' longevity. If you get a couple rounds into the playoffs, and just how many different things he does and how much space he opens up for other guys. But present issues that are in front of this team, yeah, I think it's that, and it's kind of a runaway choice.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, okay, internally, that's probably the biggest concern. My concern is just that there might be a better team or two. That's, like, to me, that's my ultimate concern. Like, you have what you have with the Celtics right now. Injured Jaylen Brown, healthy Jaylen Brown or not. I don't know exactly what's, you know, whether his knee was 80%, 90%, 100% the last time they played Oklahoma City. Do we know exactly when the knee injury occurred or when it really started nagging him, Mega?
Well, it's hard to even gauge with Oklahoma City because when these two teams matched up against each other, the first time they're shorthanded, they didn't have Chet Holmgren, and the second time you're shorthanded because Al Horford doesn't play back-to-backs and Kristaps Porzingis was out with some kind of bronchitis virus.
Oh, that was the mystery virus.
So there's different points. Like, you haven't really seen each other in full. And that's the nature of the finals, right? You get two shots at a team during the regular season, and the NBA largely treats the regular season as not counting anywhere near as much as even the early rounds of the playoffs, which is just the reality of it. So do I think that OKC is a better team than you? No, I think the Celtics are still a better team, but they are far and away better than any team that the Celtics, this almost exact same team, faced last year during the playoffs. They're an older team than they were last year, and they're much more complete. And the double bigs that they can run out there are scary. Like, they have different scary looks beyond just SGA getting to the foul line, getting to the free throw line, which I think a lot of fans think that's all it is over there.
Mm-hmm. No, I still feel like people in this area are grossly underestimating just how good the Thunder are. Like, they were 68-14. It's one of the better records ever, and that's with them kind of crapping the bed in a couple of games or just punting down the stretch as well. Like, and they're only going to get better because they're getting more experience and they have more draft picks, and they may ultimately attract more free agents because they're not cap-strapped or in the middle of the second apron like a lot of other teams that are currently getting after it and or trying to win slash repeat as NBA champions. Look, the Celtics have the talent. I agree 100%, and I've been on team rest Jaylen Brown. I told him I didn't want Tatum playing. I wanted him bubble wrapped a few weeks ago when he rolled his ankle. I think it was against the Heat. I forget what night it was where who? No. It was Sacramento, because wasn't it Sabonis who incidentally ran into him trying to defend a 3-point shot?
Yeah.
And that's what, yeah. And he landed on Sabonis's foot when he planted under him when he shot the three. Right. I wanted Tatum managed. And I think Mazzulla's done a great job with all of the minutes management with these guys, getting them to the postseason as healthy, well-rested, and prepared as possible. So if you only have Jaylen Brown at 75% the rest of the way, is there enough on the Celtics, Mego, to fill in for that extra 25% so that if you know you have him 36 minutes, kind of compromised, 25 minutes, bet, like if you can only play him 30 minutes a night, 25 minutes, we'll say, because then the knee becomes an issue. Is there enough on this team to make up for that, or is that going to be sorely missed?
I would guess, yeah, but again, it just makes your path harder. Like, to me, it becomes the difference between are you winning games in five or six games, series in five or six games, or are you going seven game series and then really adding even more minutes and more workload to a guy, to your point, Dan, to a guy like Kristaps Porzingis, and then when you get to the finals, or if you get back to the finals even before then, going seven games with the Cavs, then you get back to the finals and you see OKC there, and then you really do need Jaylen, I think, at least not nearly as banged up as he appears to be now, or getting through that pain. You know what I'm saying? It just makes your path more difficult. Do I think you can still get there? Yes. Yes, I still think that you're the best team in the league, and it's a slimmer gap between you and OKC and the Nuggets and the Lakers than it was this time last year, but you're still better. It's just, do you need Jaylen in those early rounds that much? Like, that's the balancing act. Can you beat them in five or six and get back to the Eastern Conference Finals and the Finals and have Jaylen healthy? That's all the balancing act to me.
You were talking earlier, Mego, when we were discussing Rory McIlroy and him finally breaking through and getting his greatest achievement, the Masters title. And we were talking about other athletes that need to do so. I can't help but think that if Jason Tatum lifts this Celtics team up, but full well knowing how compromised Jaylen is, with Jaylen being so integral to the Celtics winning the title last year, that if he's able to lead them, make up for the points, make up for the defense, play 40-plus minutes a night all the way through, and carry the Celtics back to Duck Boats, Banner 19, and back-to-back championships, that'll be more than he could ever want, hope for, or ask. I would think that would be truly Tatum's crowning achievement. All right, 617-779-7937. If there's a player you believe is most integral to making up for the difference in Jaylen Brown with his injury, let us know. If you guys don't want to see Jaylen Brown until the Celtics absolutely need him, you're just 10 numbers away with a text message or a phone call. Coming up, it's football o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, and you guys thought we weren't going to talk some Patriots, some mock drafting, and everything else that makes it go around these days. Could an injury in New Orleans lead to some possible draft day maneuvering for your New England Patriots? Is Derek Carr the key to the Patriots getting all they want out of the first round and then some? Mego and I and the crew are going to discuss when we come back next.